we can actually cultivate friendliness, love, well-being, and maybe the caring nature and attitude following the Buddhist way. So you see, like the Buddha said, all of his teaching center on only Dhammapada's 183. The advice that he gave to all the followers, the monks, the disciples, even to the lay people. Dhammapada was 183, as we understand. There are three advice within the Dhammapada verse. Like I said before, the Buddha always said, the first advice is sabba papasa akkarana. The meaning is, all evil we have to avoid. This is a very important advice. So because of that, this is also the reason why we need to develop this very important advice so that we can avoid all evil. Avoiding all evil means no negativity. Okay? So no negativity means no delusion to arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. This is the very, very important beginning path to all cultivation. That's why the Buddha advised all the monks to keep the precepts. Even the lay people, minimum the 5 precepts. So the purpose of this precept is to allow us to avoid all negativity, to avoid all unnecessary evil. Looking back into the precepts, we have to ask ourselves this question: who are the people who actually can violate these 5 precepts? Take for example the first precept. Okay? We undertake the training rule to abstain from all killing, from causing harm to fellow living beings. Means a person who has this what they call certain negativity within their mind can only bring about the violation of such precepts. So what type of people will kill and harm living beings? What type of people? An angry person? Karma. A selfish person? Or a deluded person who don't understand the nature's law that governs their life and existence? They have this tendency to kill and to cause harm. So you see, the evil roots are all there. Ignorance, anger, selfishness. That's how they violate the precepts. When it comes to the second precept, it's the same. The Buddha said, we undertake the training rule to abstain from taking things that don't belong to us. Yeah. What kind of person can do that? It's only those who are very greedy, selfish, deceitful, cunning, deluded. These are the people that can take advantage of situation, take things that don't belong to them, steal things. So when we have such a situation, we check, what are the evil roots behind? It is again the two, delusion, selfishness, or what they call greediness. So whenever there is this negativity or evil roots, human beings violate their precepts. They arise the negativity, the condition, what they call their own negative karma, that will bring forth the condition for them to suffer, following Dhammapada verse 1. I believe you all still recall Dhammapada verse 1, which the Buddha talked about. You know what is it? Ah, yes, very good. Mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. If we were to act, speak, and think with a wicked mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow such a being. like the wheel that follow the wood. So this is very clear cut, very, very clear cut. Huh? If you violate the precepts, the evil roots are there. It will bring about the condition for this negative karma to arise. And because of that, Dhammapada was one thing is called, suffering will follow you. So that's why the first advice, all evil, not only avoid evil, all evil, sabba papasa akarana, you have to avoid. So this is the fundamental teaching. If you cannot do this, you cannot develop the virtue and the value that we try to cultivate. Promoting friendliness, love, and well-being through the Buddhist way. Yeah. So this is what we need to understand as a Buddhist, who really, really believe in what the Buddha Dharma is all about. The advice of the Buddha is very, very important. All evil you have to avoid. So he brings us to this point. You heard of Jai Krishnamurti? No one. You see, Jai Krishnamurti actually add on to what the Buddha said. He made it very clear. He said, actually, human beings, they try to do good. They try to be good. It's not possible. Almost impossible. Do you know why? Because according to Jai Krishnamurti, he said, the absence of evil is already good. You understand that phrase, right? The absence of evil is already good. Means, if you are without evil roots, without selfishness, without all the greed, hatred, delusion, the ignorance, the negativity, you are naturally good. Understand? So the absence of evil is good is a very powerful statement. That's why if you want to cultivate, you have to develop the training of the mind to be ever mindful, to be free of all negative mental intention or mental, what they call, concomitant. The content of consciousness has to be pure. The content of consciousness has to be perfect. No wrong thought, no evil roots, no tendency for us to be negative. As against some who don't understand, you know what they do? I want to be good. I want to cultivate goodness. But your goodness that most human beings do or cultivate is according to what? According to their views and opinion of what good is. Understand? So your opinion of what good and bad is your view. And your view may not be the truth. Understand? Because sometimes you say, I do good. I help people. I do charity. I support all this. But what is the mental intention behind all this action that you do? Is it from a pure heart that really want to help? Or is it based on a view that if I help, I will gain something? So acting out of a motive, acting out of expecting a gain. And this is not what the Buddha called the pure action, because this is acting out of selfishness, acting out of what they call greed, acting out of a mental intention that has a motive behind all of your actions that you do. So this is the aspect we have to see. That's why the Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil. All evil you have to avoid. And you can only do this through the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful, to actually see each and every of your mental intention behind every thought, every action, and every speech that you arise. Otherwise, you cannot do it. So this part, I want to drive it in first. Eh? I will elaborate on it later. So that you will know the absence of evil is already good. Means you are naturally wholesome. Once you are incapable of any negativity, incapable of arising any negative state or the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So now we come back to the third precept. The third precept is we undertake the training rule to abstain from sexual misconduct. So this type of precept is actually out of compassion for us all. The Buddha advised you to keep, because the consequence of violating this precept is very severe. Right now, we ask ourselves, what kind of person or human being will violate this third precept? Lustful person, understand? A selfish person who only think of their own craving, their own desire, their own lust. When given a situation or a condition, they lost themselves, they are deluded, then they did. So when you violate this precept, what are the consequences that come with it? You breach the fundamental trust that your spouse gave to you and your family. And when they come to know, it will affect them so much. There will be a lot of misunderstanding, anger, hatred, conflict. Then it doesn't end there. The children, if you have any children, they will be dragged into it, entangled into it. Then the in-laws, the parents, and those who have relationship with the spouse, they are also involved. You just imagine one very small mistake you make, violating this precept. That's why the Buddha said the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is very evil. Very, very evil. It's the root of all evil. From there, it makes you very evil. So when you do this, the repercussion, the spin-off, it can bring about so much disharmony, misery, and suffering to all those that are linked and connected to the incident. So you see, from here, you will know your life. Why do you allow this thing to happen? Why must it be this way? Just because of your ignorance, your lust, your selfishness, you do all this. So now you start to see the importance of this precept to avoid all evil, to prevent you from doing all these things. So this is what the Buddha mean by out of compassion, he advised the living being not to allow this to arise. That's why he recommends we renew our precept every session and every day. That's why when you come to the temple, we chant just now, Panatipata Viramanisika Padang Samadhiya. All this is out of compassion for you. The Buddha advised you to keep this precept, to be ever mindful and heedful of your thought process. Your mental intention behind all of your action, speech, and thought process, so that you will not arise any negativity to condition the three evil roots that will condition your negative karma, that will condition your life suffering following Dhammapada verse 1. Then moving on to the fourth precept. The fourth precept is what? Musavada Viramanisika Padang Samadhiyami. What does it talk about? We undertake the training rule to abstain from telling lies, arising all the wrong speech. The four types of wrong speech. What are they? What are the four types of wrong speech? Yeah? Telling lies is one of them, because you got it right. What else? Idle gossiping means frivolous talk, not heedful, heedlessly say things. Sometimes it hurts, understand? Sometimes it causes people to be very, very frustrated and angry because you gossip, understand? You talk about people's bad things. What else? Harsh speech, understand? When you are very angry, very violent, you speak so harshly. Then what else? Backbiting. like putting fire, saying bad things about people. These are all the inappropriate wrong speech that will lead to what? Disharmony, misunderstanding, argument, conflict. They will condition your anger, hatred, jealousy, and all those things. So this precept is so negative. That's why the evil root is, what is the evil root behind? Telling lies. What is the evil root? Selfishness. If you are not selfish, you don't tell lies. Right? Because you try to lie your way out of the situation because you got a motive behind. You have a secret to hide. That's how people cheat people, deceive. When I want to deceive you, I lie to you. And that is selfishness. And that is greed. So the evil roots are, again, very clear. Greed, selfishness, delusion. And this is how precept is fundamental to our cultivation. If you cannot keep your precept, you are not serious about the cultivation. You are not serious about love. That's why you cannot free your mind. A person who cannot keep the precept cannot develop the wholesome thought, cannot cultivate and promote what they call friendliness, love, and well-being within their heart. That's why you have to keep this precept, avoid all evil. This is fundamental. Okay? Then the fifth precept is what? What is the fifth precept? I undertake the training rule to abstain from what? Taking, partake, intoxicant, or drugs, etc. That can make my consciousness very low. That can cause me to be heedless. That can condition my suffering in life. Because when this consciousness is affected through the intoxicant, the drugs and all this, it makes the human being's consciousness very weak. Sometimes you're left into unconscious state, like when you are drunk. When you are drunk, certain moment, like you are unconscious, then you simply say good, you simply do that. You become very heedless. So a heedless person make a lot of mistakes. You know why they go and drink until they become drunk? Do you know why? They have big problem. So when they have problem, they try to what they call bury their problem by what? By drowning themselves. By trying to drink and forget about the unhappy thought, the unhappy problems. So they thought, by drinking, they can actually drown or drunk themselves so that they can forget about it. But it is not the way. The Buddha said it's not going to work. Because sooner or later, when you become sober again, or when you recover from the hangover the next day, I tell you, I don't know whether any of you experienced before. I have seen people drunk. Then when they recover the next day, it's really horrible. The hangover and all those things, I tell you, they are really pitiful and miserable. And they don't understand how to free themselves, how to develop the understanding to overcome their problem. The only way they know is to get themselves drunk. And the trouble with a lot of these people is they associate with the wrong friends. Not Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends who counsel help. Whereas these are the friends that actually lead you to the wrong negative habit and negative tendency. A lot of these people, when they know you got problem, forget about it, come, let's go for a drink. Then they go to the pub. They drink, they smoke, they talk, and they get carried away. And they become worse. So that is happening to a lot of people, even the old generation, the young generation. They are evil. Then some of them now worse. Our time at least is only more mild, some of this drink and liquor. But nowadays you have what they call drugs. Certain type of what they call, you cause your head to shake on. What is it? Ecstasy, fear, and all those. And I tell you, if you have kids, if you have brothers and sisters who are that age, you better talk to them nicely. Yeah? Let them understand the important message of the Buddha. Because for your own good, you have to avoid all this. Otherwise, your life will become miserable. You will become very, very seriously affected. And you will suffer. So one kind of people go and drink. Intoxicate themselves. Harm themselves and hurt themselves and become miserable. Carry all the hangover. What type of person? What type of person has this tendency? Don't have wisdom, is it? Deluded, is it? So they do things wrongly. A heedless person, understand? Then a person who don't understand mind, who don't know how to attend to problem and situation, don't know how to resolve their life problem. These are the people. The Buddha said, these are heedless, deluded people. Very, very difficult to help them. Because they choose to drown and intoxicate their own mind. So this fifth precept is very dangerous. Because once you violate these, you become so heedless, you can break all the first four precepts. Understand? You can kill, you can harm, you can cheat, you can lie, you can commit sexual misconduct. So all this is the result of what? Heedlessness, delusion, the evil roots. So coming back to the topic now. The first advice we already know, all evil we have to avoid. And the absence of evil is good. That's why the second advice of the Buddha is what? Kusalesa upasampada. What is that? Kusala. Wholesome action and speech and thought process. Whatever that has wholesomeness, the Buddha said, we develop them. We promote them. We arise the right effort to cultivate them. Understand? So the four right effort that the Buddha talked about under the Noble Eightfold Path is very, very important in the cultivation. The first two right effort concern what? Concern the first advice. That's enough. The first advice to avoid all evil. How to avoid all evil? You have to apply the first two right effort. What is the first right effort? Right effort to do what? Nobody know? Oh, as a Buddha, you must understand this. Otherwise, you cannot cultivate. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. You see, the four right effort is very simple. Oh, I don't have a whiteboard. Never mind. The first right effort, the Buddha said, is the right effort to abandon the wrong thought, the unwholesome thought that has already arisen. Have you heard of this? So what are unwholesome thoughts? What are wrong thoughts? All thought that has negativity is unwholesome. Correct or not? Wrong thought. But it's very difficult to understand. That's why very few people teach you how to understand what is wrong thought. And because of that, human beings continuously arise wrong thought and yet they don't know about it. Because under the teaching, there is one sutta. The Buddha taught Sabba Asavak Sutta. Asavak is latent tendency. Very negative mental intention behind all our thought process, mental intention. Under the sutta, you know what the Buddha said? The opening statement. He said, thought that should not be thought are thought. Then he said, thought that should be thought are not thought. Do you understand? Thought that should not be thought means the wrong thought. You go and think about it. Understand? That's why you become miserable. You suffer. So thought that should not be thought, which is the wrong thought and the evil thought, you go and think. Then thought that should be thought, which is the wholesome thought, the right thought, you seldom or never cultivate the right effort to arise. So because of that, human beings do the opposite of what the Dhamma advises them to do. So what are the thoughts that you should not think, that you go and think? I can tell you, throughout the day, 99% you do that. You know what are wrong thoughts? Evil thoughts? Thoughts that trigger off your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sadness, your envy, your jealousy, your hatred, your unhappiness. These are all wrong thoughts. Thoughts that have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, selfishness behind, they are all wrong thoughts. So you ask yourself, what do you think? Whatever that don't benefit you, you don't think. That is a selfish thought. Then every time you have a problem, what do? You worry about it. It's a wrong thought. It triggers off fear, anxiety. When you receive a news, somebody told you a bad news. It can be related to your health problem, your financial problem, your relationship problem, or your children's problem. Then what happens? Then you start to arise the fear, the worry, the these are all wrong thoughts. Because through your views and opinion of how things should be, you react to what you hear. You react to what you see and what you think. This is how you get yourself entangled. This is how you get yourself in trouble. This is how you suffer. So the Buddha said, if you are heedful, if you are mindful, if you have trained your mind to be constantly aware of the mental intention behind your thought process, whenever you see your heart having fear, worry, anxiety, or whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, the evil root is there. The unwholesome thought is there. The wrong thought is there. Then you must arise the right effort to abandon it. Understand? How do you do it? That is the more important one. How do you do it? How do we abandon this wrong thought? The Buddha teaches 5 ways. Very important. You see, these are the 5 very important advice of the Buddha to overcome unwholesome thought, to allow you to abandon all this wrong thought, unwholesome thought. Thought that trigger off your suffering, thought that brings about fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation. Sometimes they become so depressed just because they think and think and think and become so unhappy. So fearful. So all this is part and parcel of your life. Understand? When things go your way, you're happy for all. When things don't go your way, and there is problem, you have all this fear, worry, anxiety, and negativity coming up. That's why I say most human beings, they don't know how to think. They don't know how to use thought. They don't know how to live life. You see, thought is like an instrument or a tool for us to use to live life. Excuse me. You can use thought to actually arise the wholesomeness of thought, the right thought, to bring about love, to bring about harmony, friendliness, to bring about happiness, joy, and peace. This is how right thought and wholesome thought is useful. That's why the Buddha teaches under the Nubuwe Foma, you must cultivate the right thought, the right speech, and the right action, and the right livelihood. This is how you bring about the happy life, the noble life, following Dhammapada verse 2. Yeah? Exactly like what we mentioned just now, Dhammapada verse 1 is a complementary verse of Dhammapada verse 2. Like our sister there just now mentioned. The Buddha actually explained very clearly. Dhammapada verse 2, just like Dhammapada verse 1, the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Our mind is chief. Mind is very important. Anasana. So we choose to take care of mind. We have to be heedful, ever mindful, so that this mind does not arise any negativity, does not trigger off the evil root to arise the wrong thought. So the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 2 say the reverse of verse 1. He said, if you have this heedfulness, mindfulness, born of your training, of your mind to meditate, then you will constantly prevent the arising of all these negative thoughts. Or whatever negative thought that has arisen, you will be able to abandon. And because of that, you will purify your thought process. Then you will be able to trigger off the third right effort to arise the wholesome thought, the pure thought in you. So if you were to act, speak, and think with a pure mind, a wholesome mind, that is free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The Buddha said, happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So now it becomes very clear that if I arise the right effort to constantly cultivate the right thought, the wholesome thought, then I will become happy. I will become peaceful. My life will change. That's why you must know how to use thought. Use thought appropriately. Use thought for the happiness and well-being of all. That's why you have to arise the thought that bring about friendliness, that bring about love, that bring about well-being to all. That's why in the teaching, you are taught what? In meditation. Loving-kindness meditation. Remember? Metta, which you all do during your normal long puja. Loving-kindness is a very important mental state. Just now I didn't really went into the five ways how to overcome negative thought, wrong thought. I haven't explained that. So now I explain. Metta is the first one. The Buddha said you have to think of the direct, wholesome, opposite thought to counter the wrong thought. If you have an angry mind, emotional mind, unhappy mind, if there is envy and jealousy, anger, hatred, you have to reverse all this through thinking of the wholesome, direct, opposite thought, which is metta, loving kindness. When there is love, you cannot be angry, correct? You can only do one thing at a time. When you are angry, you cannot have love in your heart, isn't it? So if you think of the direct opposite thought, means what? You abandon the unwholesome thought that trigger off your anger, your unhappiness, your sorrow, your lamentation. You tell yourself, my life, I am not allowing this to harm me, to hurt me. Because each and every one of us, like I always explain, we hold the key to our own life destiny, karma. To be happy or to be unhappy, we have a choice, isn't it? We decide, isn't it? It's our life, karma. So why not you choose to be happy? Choose to be happy is very simple, isn't it? But why are you not happy? Why are you not peaceful? Not to say you don't know how to choose. You know how to choose. But you have not trained your mind. You are not heedful. You don't have the wisdom and the understanding yet. To become happy and peaceful is very easy. Dhammapada verse 2 leads to happiness. Remember? Happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. What is that? You have to avoid all evil. Arise the right thought. That's why Dhammapada verse 2 talk about right thought. So if you want to be happy, then arise the right effort to abandon all the wrong thought, the evil thought, the unwholesome thought. Then cultivate this right effort to constantly train your mind to arise the wholesome thought. What are the wholesome thought? What are the wholesome thought? Just like evil thought, trigger of the evil thing, wholesome thought means what? Whatever thought that bring about harmony, love, friendliness, compassion, joy, understanding, contentment, gratitude, honesty, sincerity, respect. All these are wholesome thought that will not trigger of negativity or evil. That's why this very important theme or project that your society is trying to actually bring about is very wholesome. They talk about trying to develop a Dhamma center or a Buddhist community that is very friendly, full of love, and full of well-being and caring attitude. That's why the title is this morning's talk, Towards a Friendly, Loving, and Caring Dhamma Center or Buddhist Community. And this can be achieved easily if we understand the teaching, if we understand the Buddha Dhamma, if we understand clearly what the Buddha's advice is all about. All evil you have to avoid. Whatever goodness you have, arise there. And how to do it? No way forward. Understanding what is wrong thought, understanding what is right thought, understanding what is wholesome thought. So if we can develop the direct wholesome opposite thought like metta, loving kindness, then we start to silence our mind. Whenever you have anger or unhappiness, you do this, you will improve. Your meditation will improve very fast and your life will change. This is how you abandon the wrong thought. Tell yourself, my life, I choose not to have this evil of greed, hatred, and delusion. All this negativity, I want to abandon them. This moment onward, I want to train my mind to be peaceful. So you silence your mind. As you silence the mind, you will feel the agitation, the anger, the stress, the stirring, they will start to slow down. As long as you don't give it any more mental energy to think, this thing will start to slow down. And all of a sudden you feel you are peaceful. Your mind is very calm, very silent, very still. The anger is gone. How is this possible? Because you don't think wrongly. Understand? You don't hold on to the thought. You don't react to what you think and what you see and what you hear anymore. You are at peace. Your original state of mind is already stillness and peaceful. The reason why the anger comes in, the emotion comes in, is where you stir your mind. When you hear something, you react to it through your views and opinion, which is wrong view, then you create the wrong thought. And this wrong thought is the one that triggers your emotion, your anger, your evil. That's why you become evil. Then this evil root is the root of all evil. It conditions your mental suffering. That's how you become sorrowful, miserable, unhappy, fearful. The worry, the anxiety, all sets in. So this is a very easy way to understand the Dhamma. So when you have this understanding, what must you do? You just silence your mind. When it becomes peaceful, you radiate metta. May I, this body and mind of God, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness in you. Understand? May there be love. May there be friendliness. May there be wisdom and understanding, love and compassion. To allow this mind to be wholesome. So that right thought can continuously arise. So that I can have the right speech, right action to bring about harmony, peace, understanding, love and compassion, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. All these are right speech, right action, and right thought. And this is how you purify your mind. This is how you purify your thought process. And this is how you develop virtue, goodness of heart. Without virtue and goodness of heart, you cannot be friendly. You cannot be kind. You cannot be pleasant. You cannot have love. And you cannot be of compassionate, caring attitude at the center. So this is the first way. Think of the direct opposite. Then you can wish yourself further. May this body or mind to be free from all suffering, feeling, all physical and mental suffering. When you can develop this wholesome state of mind until it becomes so strong and intense, then the positive energy will heal you. Your immune system will go up, as opposed to just now. The anger, the hatred, the negativity, they are very negative. The energy are very negative. And because they are so negative, it can cause your cells to mutate. It can lower your immune system and you become stressed out. Cancer will form. That's why a lot of people that get cancer is all due to stress. You will find out yourself. So, unhappy. Very negative. So this is how the Dhamma can help to actually make your life different, to free you from all this negativity, to bring about happiness and joy and meaning to your life instead of suffering ceaselessly, unending, through your own delusion, through your own ignorance. That constantly allow this wrong thought and evil thought to arise and trigger up on its own without any clear understanding of the Buddha's teaching. We say we are Buddhists, and yet we never follow the advice of the Buddha. So what type of Buddhists are we? We never avoid all evil. We never cultivate the wholesomeness. Seldom. And most of the Buddhists that cultivate right thought is all based on, most of them, based on the wrong understanding. Because they cultivate the good and the right in accordance with their views and opinion, not in accordance with the wisdom that the Buddha teaches. Understand? You have to take care of the evil root. The absence of negativity is good. If you say you are a very good person, a very kind person, but your evil root are still very strong, your selfishness, your anger, your hatred, your jealousy, your deceitfulness, all these are still inside. What type of good is that? No good. But if you are a person who don't have all these evil roots, negative, then naturally you are good. You are virtuous because you don't have any selfish thought. You don't have any negative, deceitful thought. You don't have any deluded thought that trigger off the selfishness to take advantage of situation and people, to lie and to cheat, to kill and to harm, to do all this that harms, that hurt people, committing all the wrong things, sexual misconduct, intoxicant, all this you don't have. Because you are virtuous. A virtuous people has the precept, has the right understanding and the wisdom to constantly aware of their thought process. Mental intention behind everything that they arouse, their actions to change. Such a being, the Buddha called them the enlightened being, noble ones. That's why when you have understood the message of the Buddha, the Buddha's message is very simple. Right? Avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. So when you have this understanding, then you know avoiding all evil is no negativity. Do good and purify the mind is to develop love and compassion and wisdom. Understand the right understanding. So for a person to have the Dhamma, they are always very virtuous, full of love, compassion and right understanding, full of wisdom. They know how to live life. That's why they are noble ones. Very noble in their speech, very noble in their action, and very noble in the way they conduct themselves. That's why they have the noble ethical path with them. This is how we can train ourselves. This is how we can develop and promote friendliness, love, well-being, and compassion, or a caring attitude. We are the Buddhist way. It's understanding the Buddha's teaching. That's all. Very simple. That way we can do that. We become a true disciple of the Buddha. We become a true Buddhist. We are a real human being. And then you become a blessing to the world, to society, to humanity. Then we can look forward to a better Buddhist community. Because the Buddhist community, like I explained this morning, is the summation of all of the members within. Of course, starting from the exco, the advisor, the president, and all those who actually contributed to that vision to promote this type of what they call very noble type of vision or theme, so that you can work towards it to achieve what you want. But they have to be the driving force behind all this. They have to lead leadership by example. So the driving force is very important. Start off with a simple discussion, brainstorming, get everybody to participate, the advisor, everything. Then come up with a simple blueprint. You know what is a blueprint? A summary of what you want to do. Then translate this into action to realize it. So that it becomes a living reality. So that we have a day where we look forward, really look forward to, like I said this morning. A Buddhist community or Dharma Center, starting with SJBA, where each and every EXCO member, together with all the senior members, they are all very friendly, full of love, full of understanding, full of this compassion, to be of very caring nature. They are so calm, so pleasant, so full of what they call willingness to help and counsel people who come to this temple. Because there are many people who actually come to the temple, new people. You know what they look for? You know what they look for? You came before, what you look for when you came? They actually came to seek help and guidance, understand? Because they have problems. Most of the time, either they are curious, which is not very likely, or they have problems. Then only they come to temple, understand? Otherwise, most of the time, they would prefer to have a nice weekend at home, doing what they like to do. But because most of the time they are either curious or have problems, they come to the temple. They need help, they need guidance. So if you have this friendly attitude, you have the members who are very friendly, full of love, kindness and understanding, full of compassion to attend to them, to talk to them, to guide them, to share the beautiful message of the Buddha with them. The message of love and compassion through avoiding evil to good, to improve your life, to transform your life, to change your life for the better, to overcome all your problems in life, your suffering, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, all of the emotional negativity that you experience. The teaching can help you to solve that. And the beauty of the Buddhist teaching is you don't have to be a Buddhist to learn this teaching. Understand? You don't have to convert people. I know a lot of people very scared. If they come, they try to avoid you because they're scared you convert them. Understand? But Buddhists never convert anybody. It's a free, what they call free choice. But the whole trouble in the Buddhist community, which I saw, is are they friendly? Are they friendly? You answer, sir. They only friendly to their friends, sir. Those who they know, their community member, everybody. But to new people, outside people, very few can have that, what they call virtue, nature inside, that can actually project this kind of friendliness, this kind of love and understanding, to actually approach them, talk to them, let them understand, then share with them. Then make them feel good, feel confident to come. Understand? But there are a lot of once a year Buddhists, Vesak day or India day. So when you have this type of situation, you should work very hard on Vesak day. Understand? That is the only time you can talk to them and counsel them. So these are all the possibilities. Yeah? If you really want to work this out, it can be done. So, coming back, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, I only did one. I haven't finished the rest. Okay, first is the thing of the direct wholesome opposite. Like when you are angry, you think of metta. When you have cruelty, you think of what? Huh? Compassion. Understand? When you are compassionate, you cannot be cruel. Either. You cannot simply hurt and destroy and kill things. Understand? When there is envy and jealousy, you think of what? Huh? When you have a lot of envy, jealousy, what is the direct opposite also? Sympathetic joy, yes. Mudita. Huh? You should rejoice in the goodness of whatever people do. That's why you sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Instead, you go and create the negative opposite. You go and get jealous with what he gets. When he gets promoted, she gets promoted, you become jealous of him. And you envy them. Understand? Even in relationship, there is no need to be envy and jealous. Whoever that has the affinity, the condition will manifest, and things will go that way. So learn to understand. Learn to accept the reality of the moment. Learn not to react. Learn to anchor. Like the Buddha said, see things as they are, don't react. When you can see things as they are, you are peaceful. Understand? You can accept the reality of the moment. Because there is the reality, there is the truth. But when you see things and want it your way, what happens? Huh? There is this craving, isn't there? To want things your way, which is not nature's way. That's why the Buddha said, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way. Because you have a lot of expectations. You expect your loved one to understand you, to love you. You expect your boss to promote you because you have worked very hard. You expect your sister to understand you. But they also have their own selfishness, their own greed, their own delusion. So all of your expectations will go to waste because they are what they are. Understand now? So when you have this understanding, you learn to calm your mind down, not to react, not to trigger of the unwholesome thought, the wrong thought, that trigger of the envy, jealousy, and the negativity. This is how you cultivate. Then you arise the love and compassion to thank them. Thank you, sister, for putting me to test. So now I pass. So all this, no matter what happened in life, very difficult situation or what, it can be a blessing in disguise. It can turn around if you know how to perceive it with wholesomeness, without negativity. If you want to have the right thought, always remember, never, never perceive any life situation with negativity. Don't get angry, don't get unhappy. Don't work yourself out. Perceive it with wholesomeness. Means whatever that happened, accept that reality first and tell yourself, okay, now this happened already. Maybe it's meant to be. There is a reason for it. If I perceive it wholesomeness, then I can turn it around. It will turn out to be a blessing in disguise because it can be a test for me to handle this situation. If I can maintain my loving kindness, compassion, and wisdom as not to react, then I will move. I will arise the Noble Eightfold Path, right thought, right speech, right action, to attend to the situation, to solve my problem, and to move on. Understand? This is how you develop the wisdom. Then you are not trapped in the negativity. Then you are a true disciple of the Buddha because you follow his advice, you avoid all evil. You never allow your mind to lapse into heedlessness to trigger of the mental negativity through your mental reaction to what you see. what you hear and what you think. And this is the most important part in the cultivation. And this one actually come under the subsequent advice of the Buddha, the abundant and wholesome part. The first one is think of the direct opposite. The second one is the Buddha say you reflect and contemplate on the consequence and danger of holding on to that negative part, like anger, hatred, jealousy, envy, selfishness, deceitfulness. What will happen to you with it? What is the danger behind? Because this is an evil root, understand? Anger, selfishness, hatred is an evil root. Root of all evil. They can make you very violent. Then they can make you break all your precepts, kill and harm. Then it can condition your coming negativity and your suffering following Dhammapada was one. Then the Buddha also called this the three evil root, the three poison. You know what is the three poison? You know poison, eh? Kill you. If you hold on to this evil root, anger, hatred, jealousy, it's an evil root. It's a poison. It will kill you. Understand? Spiritually, eh? Of course, because you are still alive, conscious, but you are not alive as a human being. You are conscious as a human being. But when you have really developed the wisdom and the understanding, and you know, like the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. The meaning is the same. Spiritually, you are dead. That's why when the three poison is inside, you are spiritually as if dead. So the Buddha's advice always, what they call hatred is never appeased by hatred. You recall this? Say, it's only true love is hatred appeased. It's the same. In modern language, we say, forgive. Forgive and forget, you free yourself. You understand? If I forgive someone, if I don't hate the person, then the hatred come out, the evil root come out, I abandon it. You understand? Then this poison also come out. I don't have this. So forgiveness is very important. That's why certain religion, they ask for forgiveness very often. The Buddha also teach us to ask for forgiveness. Nowadays, it's seldom chant. Kayena vachachitena. You all don't chant anymore. Oh God. You ask for forgiveness from the monks and all those people. So all these are very good practice. It free you. And it breaks you free from all the karmic repercussions, the karmic conditioning that trigger off through your thought process. So when you think of that, the consequent and danger of holding on to this thought, then you ask yourself, my life, am I going to allow this to harm me and hurt me? If you don't want, what must you do? Right effort to abandon it. Understand? So forgive and forget and take that unwholesome thought out. The evil thought out straight away. The third way is very simple. Like just now I taught you, meditation. Silent awareness. You see, Krishnamurti got a very good way of describing this third way, the meditation. He said the very flowering of that emotion or that thought process is the very ending of it. You allow that anger to flower. Don't give it any more energy, no more mental energy to make it more powerful or more stir up. Then what happens? Like anything, it will flower. Then it will dissipate. Then all the energy will be gone. Then your mind return to the original state of peace, calm, and stillness. Understand? This is how you develop the third way, the meditative way. The Buddha said, don't do anything. Don't fight, don't resist, don't stir. The mind will be peaceful. Actually, under one of the sutta, I forgot what sutta. I think it's Kosala Sutta or Akosa Sutta, sorry. The Buddha teach the same. You heard of this or not? During the time of the Buddha, is it? One of the monks want to find out how to train his mind. Yeah, the mind is very, very restless. Very difficult to be peaceful and calm. So the Buddha told the monk, okay, you get me some water. So this monk went. That place where he's supposed to collect the water is a traveling path for blockade. So every time he wants to take the water, the blockade go across, the water become muddy. He cannot collect. He went back and tell the Buddha, "My Lord, as a disciple, I cannot do that. I cannot collect those water. It's muddy." The Buddha said, "It's okay. Go a second time after this." Second time he went, again, safe. He came back and tell the Buddha, said, "Lord, I can't because it's still muddy." The Buddha said, "Don't worry. Wait for a while, then you go again." This time, the monk was very surprised. The water was clear. Because no more bulokat passed the sun. So he collected the water, very happy, and offered it to the Buddha. Then the Buddha talked to him. "Now you know how to train your mind or not?" The monk reflected, immediately understood the message. "Yeah," he said, "Lord, when I don't stir the water, my mind is the same, still, clear, pure. But when something went in and disturbed it, it stirred." So, like when you hear something, see something, think of something, you react to what you see, you react to what you hear, you react to what you think. Your views and opinion are all wrong view. That's how you don't have wisdom. That's how you create your wrong thought, your suffering. So this is how the Buddha teach, and it's so beautiful. The fourth way is very important because it is the accumulation of all the five ways. The fourth one is to develop the wisdom. The Buddha said you have to trace the origination factor of this negative thought, wrong thought, the emotion inside your heart. How come you become angry? Before you are angry, you are not angry yet, you are peaceful. Then why do you become angry? He said, if you were to trace, you will always go back to your sixth sense. One of the sixth sense trigger it off. And to me, there are three very powerful sense. Your hearing, your seeing, and your thinking. Because when you hear somebody scold you and abuse you, what happens? You react to that. You will tell yourself, "How dare that guy did that? Who the hell is he to say all these things to me?" See, the delusion, the atta, the self, the ego affected. That's why you get angry. That's not wrong. Disturb. But if you just hear it as vibration, words, and you understand the Dhamma, this form and mind is not you. There is hey no me, hey no you inside. No one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. Then you don't think. Then whatever is spoken is just the way it is. He is the way he is. Ignorant people, angry people will speak angrily, ignorantly, deludedly. They will insult, they will say opposite. If I accept them for what they are, I am at peace, karena I don't react. If I don't react, I know how to reverse all this. So he said, retrospectively, reverse all this. So that the evil roots, the negative thought, the unwholesome thought, you can abandon or prevent it from arising. So the next time you hear something, you are mindful. You have the wrong view not to react. The next time you see something, you reflect and contemplate and think of something, you are mindful, you are aware, you have wisdom. The Buddha called it yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wisdom, wise attention. So at the moment of sense experience, you have this wisdom, wise attention, your mind is free. Feeling will remain as pure feeling. It will not condition craving. No negative thoughts, no evil, no need to suffer. Always peaceful. This is the most important cultivation. This one is taught under the Dhamma Nupassana, the four foundation of mindfulness under the four foundation. The Buddha teach the monk how to meditate on the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. And this is how you see your ego root. This is how you see your reaction of mind, the content of consciousness. This is how you meditate the free. Then you develop the wisdom. You realize the truth. The anatta nature within is only thought. Thought is impermanent, become an ego. If you cling and hold on to that thought, suffering will arise. And because it's impermanent, it is empty, non-self. God is not you. If it's you, when it arrives and pass away, you should die with it. But how come you are still around? God has come. This thought, the next thought. Then who are you? What are you? If your thought, feeling, and emotion and the aggregates of mind are not you, then who are you? What are you? This one you need to meditate. You need to understand it through your own investigation, through your own cultivation, your own meditation. So, with that, I will just explain the last one, then we end. Huh? The last one is the fifth advance. The Buddha said, if all the first four, which is all the Dhamma that he can think of to teach to you, you still cannot do, he cannot help you anymore. He said you must use your own very, very strong determination, your will, to abandon that wrong thought. You know what he said? With your tongue against your upper palate, determine to abandon that thought. You have to do it yourself through your own willpower, because there is nothing he can do to you. He already teach you all the four, and yet you cannot apply. Then you use the last one. So this is how you actually overcome your wrong thought and unwholesome thought. This is how you purify your mind and your thought process. And this is how you actually abandon the unwholesome thought. Then the third and fourth right effort, I just finished off this one. The third right effort, like I say, is the right effort to cultivate all the wholesome thought, the right thought. The thought of friendliness, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. The thought of love, thought of compassion, thought of sympathetic thought, gratitude, contentment. Contentment is very important. If you have gratitude and contentment in life, you will know how to appreciate life. You will have a lot of respect for those who have taught you and guide you very well. So all these are wholesome thoughts. So you can develop all this goodness and virtue. You become a noble one, then you can be a blessing to the world, society, and all humanity. Then you can help to bring about change and transformation. You can call this the wisdom transformation method or program. Through wisdom, the teaching of the Buddha, you transform yourself spiritually. Character-wise, personality-wise, you change and become a totally different human being. Then you become somebody who is very noble, very pleasant, very good nature, good character. You become very loved. People like you. Understand? You become like very kind, very compassionate, very understanding, full of love, full of what they call friendliness, full of this caring attitude towards all things, not only humanity, environment. Then you cannot violate any of your precepts. That is the accumulation of the Buddha's teaching. That is how you actually develop a full understanding of what he has to teach. Okay? So with that, I shall end my talk. If you got any question, you can ask.
Can you please elaborate on the
food?
What?
I would say
you are using
the tongue against the head. Oh, the last advice. He said, like when you very, very determined to do something, during the olden day, they say the tongue against the palate. Understand? I must abandon it. So I think that was what they did. Otherwise the Buddha wouldn't say that. With the tongue against the palate, very determined. Nowadays, I don't know what expression you use. When you are very, very determined, how you do? Your eye very big. So I believe during the Buddha's time, that's what they did. They are very serious. They have to use their willpower to overcome. That's why they say thumb against the balance. Then you determine to abandon that wrong thought, unwholesome thought. Anybody got any question or anything that you want to ask about the Dhamma or the teaching? Is it clear or not? Huh? Can follow? Can, Sadhu. If you can follow, it's very good. I don't know why. The afternoon session, I tend to speak better. This morning, I was having a problem with my throat when I came in. And I couldn't really speak because something happened, I don't know why. Not meant for them. Meant for you. I don't know. They are not ready or what, I don't know. This one, no. It cannot come out. Sometimes it cannot come out, the Dhamma, I don't know why. It's not to say I don't know how to speak, but the condition is not that it cannot come out. Understand? But when it comes to the right audience, the thing just come out. It's meant to be. Yeah. Yes. 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 Okay. Very good question. How do you reflect and contemplate on all the wholesome thoughts? You see, what are wholesome thoughts? Wholesome thoughts are thoughts that brings about harmony, anasana, peace, understanding, love, compassion. No negative, anasana. So you have to take a book out or a piece of paper and write them out. Anasana. What are wholesome thoughts? What are wholesome thoughts? When I reflect on that thought, like gratitude towards somebody who has taught me very well, do I arise any evil, any fear, any worry, any anxiety, any unhappiness? No, I feel gratitude. I feel happy. Understand? These are wholesome thoughts. Understand? Then when I have contentment, I don't like become unhappy with what I have. I have a lot of contentment because I don't compare with people who are more fortunate and more lucky. You know? Because I have contentment, I learn to appreciate what I have. I learn to appreciate what nature has given me, my health, my this body and my thought for me to use and to do. I have contentment to understand what life is. Then when I'm contented, I'm very wealthy, like the Buddha said. Understand? Contentment is the highest wealth. I don't have any more need. Understand? So likewise, whatever that you reflect and contemplate, all the wholesome thoughts, as long as it brings about goodness, wholesomeness, no negativity, that is how you reflect and contemplate. And this is taught under the second turning of the Four Noble Truths. The cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path is very simple. When you understand what is wrong thought and what is right thought. If you cannot understand what is wrong thought and what is right thought, you cannot cultivate. Of course, you need mindfulness. But you need to know what is right thought, what is wrong thought. So now I have given you a very good guideline. Any thought that trigger of negativity, fear, worry, anxiety, and unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation that bring about negativity, these are all wrong thoughts. You shouldn't think about it. You just abandon it and move on. Understand? Jealousy and all those things. Abandon it and move on. Okay? Yeah.
Any more question?
No question. You got any question? You got any question? Wendy, you got any question? Oh, okay. Okay. If you don't have that, maybe we stop.
Okay, no question. I'd like to invite Father
to okay. Okay. The normal sharing of merits with the believers, then transfer of merits to departed ones and all those who can receive them, then you make your aspiration. I Vichan in Bali. Huh? Those who understand and can follow Vichan along. Those who don't understand, you just silent your mind, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, sharing your merits with the demons. Akasata chabhumata devanaga mahindika punyantam anamoditva chiram rakhantu loka sasana itavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabasampati siddhya idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo imina punyam kamina mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo bhotu yava nibbana patiya